For the Greater Good by Rebe 10, read by Cookie Mom 6067. This wasn't a problem Jim had anticipated or been trained for, but that was true of most things they faced out in deep space. He always found a solution, and he certainly wasn't going to let this one first contact trip him up. "I completely understand that this is an important part of your culture," Jim said, smiling winningly at the Catarlic ambassadors before him. "Luckily, my first officer here, Mr. Spock, is also my boyfriend." One of the aliens looked at him with narrowed eyes for a long moment, as if trying to suss out if he was lying. Her spouse remained quiet and unmoving behind her. "Is that so?" "Yes, ma'am," he replied. "I would be happy to send Dr. McCoy back up to the ship so that Mr. Spock and I could speak with you more appropriately." "Fine, then," the ambassador said. She turned and began walking toward the governmental building the away team had been heading to before being stopped, her spouse just a step behind. "The two of you may follow us to the speaking room." Jim didn't wait to hear Bones grumbling as he called for Chekov to beam him back to the ship. He only made it a couple of steps before Spock's hand on his arm drew him to a stop, though, and he looked over at his first officer with a frown as the ambassador couple continued on without waiting to see if they were following. "What is it, Spock?" he asked, eyebrows raised. "Don't you think we should be keeping up with our guides?" "In a moment, Captain," Spock replied, and there was something in his voice that made Jim really pause, turning to give the Vulcan his full attention. "Before we continue, I would like an explanation of your actions." "My actions?" Jim frowned, wondering what in the world Spock was annoyed with him about this time. He'd gotten them in the door, hadn't he? "Oh, you mean telling them we're a couple?" Spock nodded sharply. "Indeed." Jim shrugged. "Seeing as they said their culture only allows couples to hold high positions or get involved with important discussions, I figured it was necessary. It's not like anyone who's actually dating could do it, since all of Alpha Ship is single right now. It was just a little white lie for the greater good of the mission." Spock made a rather noncommittal sound, but gestured for them to continue after the ambassadors. Good enough for now, even if Jim was sure he'd want to discuss it later. Hopefully nowhere in earshot of the Catarlics, since Jim was sure they wouldn't be happy about the deception. Oh, the things he did for Starfleet. They caught up with the ambassadors quickly enough and followed them inside to the speaking room, where they apparently held all meetings with foreign representatives. There was a large conference table in the center of the room, with smaller tables around the edges of the room for somewhat more private talks. The two Catarlics led the way to one of the smaller tables, taking a seat and gesturing for Jim and Spock to do the same. There were only two chairs at the table facing each other. The chairs were wider than average, large enough for two average-sized people to sit side by side, but no more. The Catarlics seemed perfectly comfortable pressed against one another in their seat, so Jim didn't think asking for an extra chair so he and Spock could have their own separate ones would go over very well. He sat, and after only a moment of hesitation, Spock did the same. It wasn't uncomfortable exactly, but it was very close quarters, closer than Jim could remember being to Spock in any situation outside of a life-threatening one. He could feel the heat of Spock's body from thigh to shoulder, and Jim's heartbeat sped up without his consent. Shima, the ambassador who had spoken before, seemed pleased by seeing them take their seat together. "Wonderful. Now please tell us about why you are here on our planet." Jim grinned and began his United Federation of Planets spiel. The Catarlics seemed quite interested, especially with the way Spock would sometimes break in to insert some more specific facts and figures. Jim knew them, of course. He just didn't think they were as important as the big picture. And besides, he knew Spock liked getting to do that part. Overall, Jim thought it was going quite well. He'd almost forgotten about the feel of Spock's body pressed up against his own, or the way their faces were only inches apart when they turned to look at each other, or the way that this was a mission and he shouldn't be thinking about either of those things. "We are pleased with the closeness that is obvious between the two of you," said Yanton, the ambassador, who had not yet spoken. Jim was a little taken aback, assuming they just didn't speak. Are we to understand that the two of you are not married yet? Jim glanced over to look at Spock, who looked back, stony-faced. He turned back to the ambassadors, giving his most winning smile. Yeah, that's right. Just, you know, dating. Then we would be very pleased to perform the wedding ceremony now, to ensure lasting closeness. Jim replied. He very carefully didn't look over at Spock. The first ambassador, Shima, clapped her hands together. Wonderful, she said. We shall prepare. Please call down any who you wish to stand with you at the ceremony. Before Jim could think of anything to say, any way to turn them down, because this had certainly not been in his plans for the day, the two ambassadors had risen and left the room, and then it was just he and Spock on one chair, which was suddenly feeling far too small. Jim, Spock said, and Jim could tell just from the sound of his voice that things really had spiraled far out of his control. Do you intend to allow this wedding ceremony to take place? Jim shrugged, feeling helpless. It was not a feeling he encountered much, and he didn't like it. Really didn't like it. I mean, we can't really say no, can we? He replied, finally turning to face Spock. His first officer's face was completely blank, more so than Jim thought he'd ever seen. Yep, this was looking bad. We'll just get divorced after, or get it annulled, whatever Starfleet regs say, because I'm sure there's something. Spock let out a careful breath, and Jim let himself relax just a little. Indeed. The ambassadors were back by the time they'd called their wedding party down from the ship. Bones grumbled about it when they told everyone what was happening, but both Sulu and Chekov found it hilarious. Jim couldn't get a read on what Uhura thought of the situation, but it worried him a little that she immediately pulled Spock aside for a private conversation. "We are prepared," Shima said, once the two of them had returned. She gestured for them to follow and led the way out to a courtyard. It wasn't decorated in any way that Jim recognized as matrimonial, from what he knew of Terra and other alien cultures. Still, he could see the way the decorations reflected the Katarlic investment in couples. It gave him a little pang, knowing that this wasn't real the way they thought it was, and maybe not what he wished it was. But he'd spent years trying very hard not to think about things like that. "Well," Jim said, clapping Spock on the shoulder and giving his soon-to-be husband a big grin, "let's do this." The ceremony, thankfully, went rather quickly. For all that Shima had much to say on the topic of lifelong partnership and the joys that such a coupling brought both to those involved and to the whole of their society, it was a beautiful and touching ceremony, all things considered. And then it was over, and Shima and Yantin agreed to a provisional treaty with the Federation, and Jim and the rest were headed back to the Enterprise. It felt like it had been days, weeks even, since they'd first come down to the planet, but it had really only been a few hours, far shorter than most first contacts they did. Jim felt almost disappointed that it was all over already. He knew he shouldn't be. It was just the adrenaline let down after a mission, but he still felt it. "Mr. Spock, please join me in my ready room, at your leisure," Jim said, as they entered the bridge. He headed over without looking, but he knew Spock would be right behind him. He always was. "I have prepared the Starfleet annulment paperwork, Captain," Spock said, as soon as the door slid closed behind him. "I assumed you would prefer to complete it as soon as possible." Jim's mouth dropped open a little with surprise, even though he knew there was nothing to be surprised about. He'd asked for this, after all, and Spock was nothing if not punctual in completing the task Jim set him to. They could just fill out the paperwork and get this over, forget the way the idea of it made his heart clench in his chest. And then, as he so often did, he decided instead to just leap without looking. "What if we didn't annul it?" There was silence for several long moments, so Jim gritted his teeth and turned around. Spock's face was blank, blanker than Jim thought he'd ever seen, even when he'd first agreed to the marriage. He tried not to think that that was a bad sign. He waited another moment, but Spock still didn't say anything. Well, he dug himself in this far. It wouldn't be so bad to just stay married and see how it goes, would it? He asked, voice soft. He tried not to let his nerves show, even though this suddenly felt far more terrifying than any dangerous situation he'd found himself in before. Spock's face softened just a little, and Jim felt himself relax as well. Still silent, Spock held out two fingers to him. If Jim hadn't seen him do the same thing with Uhura when they were dating, he might not have known the significance or what to do. Gently, he traced his own two fingers down Spock's. It felt far more exhilarating than any mere touch had before, drawing a shiver of pleasure down his spine. Jim grinned, letting the feeling wash over him, seeing the corner of Spock's mouth quirk up just a bit into the tiniest hint of a smile. "Jim," Spock said, voice soft and filled with something akin to awe. "Yeah," Jim thought, suddenly almost deliriously happy. They really had a chance to make this work. He was excited to see it through. The end.